Okay, so what we're learning, what did we say was the point of this passage? Praising God, right? Because Jesus himself says, if we look in verse 17, he starts to talk. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." So Jesus is making a sticking point here to say praising God. So I'm going to ask you now, as we start to bring it into, are we in the 21st century or the 22nd? We're in the 21st century. All right, cool. Yeah, okay, we won't be alive for the 22nd. Okay, we're in the 21st century. So let's bring it into the 21st century here, okay? Praising the Lord. Now, when we talk about praising the Lord, what are you thinking about? Are you thinking about, are you raising your hands? Are you thinking of the Amy Grant song, which I instantly thought of when I said praising the Lord? I'll get to you in a second. Give your praise to the Lord. Come on, everybody. Stand up and do what you... Okay, anyway, yeah. All right. I know. Okay. Lily, you had an observation comment.
Probably for thanking God, for praising God, I think of thanking him for what he's given us. Like in this instance where he's been healed, so he comes back and he praises God for the fact that he's been healed.
Okay. Is this a good thing to do? Yes, it's a good thing to praise God. In this case, would you say, Lily, what
thanking
was praising?
God.
Thanking God. God has done something for you. And Jesus is saying, hey, we're not 10 healed. Where are the other 9? To thank God. Now, leprosy is an incurable disease. It's an incurable skin disease. You lose feeling. You end up lopping fingers and toes off. You could bleed to death. It's a really nasty thing. Not only is it you're ritually unclean, meaning you can't come into the temple. You pretty much are forced out to live in a leper colony where you're... Your parents and your loved ones are supposed to take care of you. It's not even like you're provided for. It's a big deal. Yes, Trevor. Yeah, see, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't think the law allots for that. Yeah, that's a good question.
Would that also be
considered like spiritual death? Maybe. That's a good connotation right there. That's good. I don't know. Maybe they had an emissary that would go and offer sacrifices for them on their behalf. It's hard to say. See, those are the rubbing points, right? Like when we were talking on Sunday school about Orthodox Jews and what do you do if you're going to keep the law today, right? You have to atone for sin. Otherwise, I mean, that's if you read the law, that's pretty much a large chunk of it. How is God going to atone for your sin, right? So you can have fellowship with him. So praising the Lord, when do we praise him? Let's back up. I had no coffee today and I had a cup and all of a sudden I'm like Chatty Cathy, okay? So let's prioritize and talk clearly, all right? So what are some ways that we today praise the Lord? If Jesus says it's an important thing and we agree that it's an important thing even today to praise the Lord, what are some ways that we praise the Lord? Let's go Nisha then Lily. Singing. Good. Okay, Lily said you stole mine. Abby.
Prayer.
I thought you said prior for a second. I got to clean the wax out of my ears. Prayer. Good. Taylor.
How we live our everyday life.
Explain that.
Well, depending on how we live around other people, and going off what we talked about a couple of Sundays ago, being involved and not of it.
Okay.
Oh,
good. So how we live our life, will either praise God or won't. That's good. I like that. Profound. How else do we praise him? What are some ways to praise him? Singing, praying, living our life, which is pretty all-encompassing, big. You guys can get more specific if you want. Nisha? Laughing. Why is that praising God?
God said that laughter is good medicine.
Okay. Laughter is a good thing. Would we say like a generic laughter, like we just made fun of Trevor and we all laughed? Is that a good thing?
No.
Okay, So our laughter should come from joy. Okay, not joy and making fun of Trevor, but true godly joy. Natalie. Ooh, the way we treat. Explain that. Okay. Okay, good. The way we treat others. Love it. Eli. Okay. Respecting him. Okay. Acknowledging his existence, respecting him whenever he's with you, you're talking to him. If you encounter a hardship, maybe like, hey, can you help me out here? Not like, God, I got this. Yeah. Okay, let's go, Ani. Okay, so you meant that talent. I didn't know if you meant Bible talent like money. I'm like, oh no, how's she going to explain this? You mean like your gifts and talents and abilities, okay, for his glory. Sweet, okay? Lily.
Okay. Well, taking care of what he's given us. So that's kind of gifts, but also like not, like, you know, treating animals well, treating God's creation well, because God has blessed us with that, and so we should thank him by being good stewards of it.
Okay. Good. Being good stewards over what he's given us. Ethan.
Obeying his commands.
Okay. Why?
One,
okay.
You do that, that proves that you love him.
Okay.
And when you do that, others will see that you love him.
Okay. Is it easy to obey his commands? No, it takes an act of surrender there sometimes, right? Sometimes not understanding fully, but we do it anyway. Okay, good. And of course, there's any statement that's to be said, there's caveats and there's exceptions and there's all sorts of other stuff. And somebody he'll play devil advocate. But what if, just like I brought up about Trevor, we're not going to make fun of Trevor and then laugh and say all laughter is, okay, yeah, we know the point. It comes from the joy of the Lord. So, yeah, good. Okay, so those are some ways that we can praise him. And we know that Jesus said praising God is a good thing. Those are some ways we praise him. So now, is praising him easy? Is it an easy thing? And if, where's the rub? Okay, Lily?
Well, it's dependent on our thankfulness. Because if we're not thankful, we can't truly praise him.
Okay.
So we can't, I mean, without thinking about it, or we read without thinking about it, we talk to others without thinking about it, but we can't truly be praising him unless our heart is thankful and we feel and we know that we are thankful.
Okay. Good. Eli.
It kind of depends on the circumstances. I mean, it's a whole lot easier to praise him when life is going right in our minds than when there's hard things going on.
Is okay, let's draw some clarifications, because I instantly thought, because I'm like an old guy and I have like massive life experiences, and when you said that, I instantly kind of like did a quick inventory on when I praise God and when I don't. I notice I don't praise God when things are going mediocre. When things are going bad, I'll take a step back and go like, oh wow, like my truck stuck on a mountain and my, you know, us possibly going over the side of, like, it's a 15-foot ravine, we wouldn't have died, but it would have been scary, right? Okay, and it's like, all right, so I'm going to stop. I'm going to praise him because, wow, I need his help right now, right? Like, it's beyond me. Something that happens beyond me. I've learned, stop, praise him. Something that's overwhelmingly good happens, I can stop. I'm like, wow, God got the truck out of the thing, and it didn't cause much damage, and I'm like, going to praise him. It's really like a mediocre time. Because then you're like neither hot nor cold. It's like you're like living as an atheist. You're like, I'm doing my routine, and I got this God, and I should probably read my Bible, and I should probably pray, and going to church would probably be a good thing, but I'm kind of like, ho-hum life, ho-hum life. Would you agree with me on that? Yeah, because you're not thinking. It's exactly what you said. You're not thinking about it. Maybe you're reading your Bible, but you're not thinking about reading your Bible. You're just, okay, and then on the way to Jerusalem, it was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and okay, and wow, Jesus is cool. Okay, I did my Bible reading today, right? You're just kind of like not connecting. Do you think that's what the other nine were thinking? Okay, what do you let's put ourselves in that mind and see if we can transfer it over. What are you thinking?
Taken away from us.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Why would they? Why do you think the other nine didn't come back? Do you think they were like, forget you, Jesus? Do you think they were like, woohoo, I'm free. I'm free. I see your hands. We'll get you. Okay. Anything? What was the most important thing that they had to do that Jesus actually commanded them to do? Okay, do you think that's upper foremost in their mind?
Yes.
So could you classify this as a religious, the other nine are being super religious and following like a letter of a law, and the one, the tenth guy is like, yeah, I can go to the priest later. I got this is just like too awesome, right? So when we're looking at the other nine, try to, look, I don't want you to totally put yourself in your situation because there's stuff that you just can't. You're not a leper. Okay, you never have been a leper. Okay, you don't know the ostrich, you know, just, okay, I was going to say a big word, but my brain said, don't say it, you're going to mess it up, right? You're kicked out of society, frowned upon, not allowed to play with others, you're not allowed to come and play in any reindeer games, people are making fun of you, okay? All of those things are happening. Now you see those nine people. Do you think maybe, I'm postulating with you, because I didn't think about this beforehand, I'm postulating with Trevor right now. And you guys postulate with me, okay? Thinking that these other nine are going like, wow, I've just been healed. And as Lily pointed out, it wasn't like an instant thing. It was like on their way, they're like, hey, I'm not a leper, you're not a leper, he's not a leper, we're not a leper. Let's all, you know, wow, we better get to the XYZ priest and cement this thing. Let's do this religious act. But is that, in the act of religion, do we find God? When do you feel you're closest to God? Lily.
When I mess up and I realize it, and then I think back to what God's done for me in the past.
Uh-huh.
And then that clicks, and I think, I've been through this before, I can fix this again, and then God comes in and like,
okay. You're overwhelmed by Him. Okay. Anybody else?
When I'm praying.
When you're praying? Elaborate.
Well, just the fact that I can pray to the Almighty Creator of the world who can do anything He wants to.
Perspective, right? You know, we as Gentiles really don't get what it was. You know, the Jews really did understand. The Jews who came to understand Messiah and became saved understood, I don't have to go to the priest. I don't have to offer sacrifice. I want to talk to God. I have to go to the priest. To have, like what you said, the curtain has been torn in two. We have access to the Father. That's a huge, massive deal. And when you're able to like put yourself in that framework, like Thomas was talking about, and you're like, dude, I'm praying to the Creator of the universe. Wow. And you're like, you all of a sudden become small in that sense, and you're like, wow. You get perspective. Okay? Anyone else? Yeah. You know, I was struck today when you guys were talking and I wanted Joe to put on some music and then he put on that old fogey church music. And I'm glad like no one from church like hears that. But anyway, you know, the piano stuff, which is I asked him for music, I wasn't specific. Okay. Then I put my iPod on and I was like, all right, I'm gonna do my J Man's meditation thing. And I put on like, oh cool, yeah. And then when we hit All the Poor and I was just like, and I'm singing it. And I'm like up here, you know, you guys weren't paying attention, you were talking, and I was just like, just take a deep breath and just kind of let that wash over me. And I was a Moody Bible student. And the thing for me, I hadn't really worshiped until, like, I saw college students pouring out, like, everything to Jesus as they're, like, and it's, like, crazy. I keep threatening to bring, like, my discipleship core to one of their worships and worship times. And I think Mark and Andrew wanted to bring you guys to Vespers. Yeah, because it's mind-blowing. Okay, when people are coming together and just like straight up just praising God, you're surrendering everything and you like that perspective of like God, who God is. And I like had just like a brief like memory of standing in worship chapel and being like, whoosh, and then like everything faded away and it was me and God. And I was like, it's just me and God. Oh my, I'm just like, it's me and God. Wow. And it was just kind of like, whoo. And then Andy comes up like, are you okay? And I look down and I see cannons and I'm like, don't cry. I'm like, I love cannons, right? Phil Wickham is like, ah. And it's just like, I can't handle it. God is too big. God is too much. God is too awesome. He's love and he's pure and he's goodness and greatness and light. And where he is, there is no darkness at all. And you're just like, and it's not a Martin Luther thing. It's not like, I'm quaking because God is so big and he will kill me and smite me. Oh, the mean and nasty God, like Martin Luther thought before he got saved. It's the Martin Luther afterwards going like, wow. Like Thomas says, the creator of the universe, wow. And it's like everything fades away. And you're like, okay, God's really got all of this. So if you go back to those lepers, those nine who wanted to fulfill, let's give them the benefit of the doubt, okay? We're going to give them the benefit of the doubt. Now, maybe you're like secretly, I'm not giving the benefit of the doubt. Those guys were slackers, okay? But let's publicly give them the benefit of the doubt and say they were just going to go and fulfill the requirements of the law because they needed it to stick. And let's give them the benefit of the doubt and see maybe in their heads they're thinking we'll go and praise them later, okay? What, in the mindset of those guys, that they are going to publicly fulfill the law, what is lost in that? What are they losing? Okay, a personal relationship with God. What else? What are they missing? Eli. They're missing the mercy part, right? In that sense, they're thinking, oh, I've been healed. Yay! So we're not denying that they're probably happy. But where their eyes go? Yeah, I'm like, whoa, I got to go do this one thing. Then I'm going to go. And their focus is like, whoa. They're not having that, whoosh, everything stripped away. And like, but what do you think that Samaritan's doing? Is he having a moment? And Jesus, now he gets to talk to Jesus. If you go back and you look, if Colossians is true and he is the visible image of the invisible God, you go back and every time God is talking to somebody, who is that? And the Lord appeared to Abraham. There's three dudes. And two of them are angels, we know, because they go off to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And there's one dude sitting there. And he says, shall we hide what we're going to do? No, let's tell Abraham. Who is that? If you go back and you look at Stephen's testimony, it's like, dude, Jesus is in the burning bush. Jesus is the one interacting where it's talking about God doing it. Not necessarily the angel of the Lord or anything. You can get and split some hairs. God did send angels to do stuff. But you get and you look and you're like, wow, it's Jesus. Dude, the dude is talking to the guy who's holding his molecules together according to Colossians 1:17. Tell me that's not like a mind blow. You're like, what? And he's like, has that moment to where I get to thank the dude, the man. I get to thank the Messiah. And the Jews, not so much, are they? We got to go fulfill the law. Now, is it a Jew-Samaritan thing? I don't necessarily think so. I want you guys to think, how many times in your life are you so set on the, yeah, God will bail me out. Yeah, everything good will happen. You're so set on that positive thing happening. The one thing that made me think the most after having that trial on the mountain, trying to get the truck out, getting it out and getting it stuck and getting it out, getting stuck and thinking, are we going to die? Are we going to slide over the whole standing out? And it was really stinking cold. I was driving the next day and I'm like, you know what? How many times do I drive and I don't think? I'm following all the traffic laws. I'm not speeding. I'm not doing anything, but I'm not like thinking about my surroundings. And I was sitting there, I was talking to God and I said, you know, at any second, I could hit black ice and go wham and hit that telephone pole right there. And what would it be matter? I'm thinking about what I'm going to do next, where I'm going to go, what I'm going to have for lunch. I'm thinking about all these things as predicated on me being there. But at any instance, I could not be there because I'm not living like in the moment. I'm taking it for granted that those next few minutes are mine. And sometimes that's what we get into, the mediocre. We take for granted those next few minutes are ours, those next hours, those next days, those next weeks, those next months and years and on and on and on. But we don't know what will happen. You're budgeting for money. You get 10 bucks a week for allowance. What happens? Something bad happens. Your little hamster dies. And you're thinking you're going to save 10 bucks a week because that's what you get. And you don't allot for, you have to get a new hamster or something breaks or something else and you have to dole that out. You're thinking 10 bucks a month, I'm going to be able to, at the end of, you know, a year, I'll have $120 and I can buy this XYZ thing. And we plan like that and we live like that, that it's there. It's that $10 is there. We don't live like, maybe it won't. What happens if mom and dad forgot to pay me and they said, oh, well, suck it up. You just don't get 10 bucks 1 month. Oh, no, now I'm down $10. What am I going to do? Best laid plans, right? Well, now, I know some of you math people and you some financial wizards are like, that's why you put money away for a rainy day. You should save 10%. Okay, look, don't bust my analogy because what I'm trying to say, I'm doing the analogy not to save money, but the analogy is, where do you live? You live like you got it all. And whenever we come back and we see God do something, sometimes we live like we got it all. Of course God will bless me. I am his child. Of course God will bless me. I'm an American, okay? Of course God will bless me. X, Y, Z, and we live life. And Jesus is saying, look, there is a moment of disconnect here where the Samaritan is thinking, wow. And he goes back and he has an encounter with the Lord and he actually takes time to praise God. When's the last time you praised him not out of obligation? This is not me going like, oh, Taylor, obviously you're a human and I'm a human and you obviously had times you're not. I'm not asking that. I'm not putting anything. I'm asking you to do a self-evaluation because it's between you and God. It's a personal relationship. I don't know what you do on an everyday basis. Only God knows. Who knows the heart of man except for the man who lives inside of him and, of course, God. Take a check. Think back. When is the last time I praised him for the pure joy of praising him? And not out of obligation because you needed something or you wanted something or it was what your parents told you to do. It was under obligation at some point, but it was just a free praise. Close your eyes and think about that. And when you got it, open your eyes. Praising God is such an awesome thing for us to do. And it's something that God commended even the Samaritan to do. And we all agree that what Jesus said here, it's still a good thing to praise God. Why don't we do it more, not in obligation, not in because our parents tell us to or it's the right thing to do or God will bless us, but just simply because we want to praise him. Simply because his love, mercy, and grace, and his light, and all the things he is just so immense to us. At what point did we look back and we watch old 70 or 80s movies and we realize their special effects was not that great? When you watch the original Star Wars trilogy and you realize those special effects aren't really cool. But you know, back at the time, it was revolutionary. It was groundbreaking. You watch The Matrix now and you're like, that's kind of cheesy. But you're like, that revolutionized the way they did special effects. We get lost in the new thing. We get lost in, okay, and we look back and say, but God is so immense, he doesn't change, and it's so mind-blowing, and when we walk away from for a long time and come back, it's like a new thing, right? Where have you been all my life? Well, God's like, I've been here. Take some time, right now, and think about when you, just in the next day or two, could just praise him unadulterated. That means like without obligation, without precedence. That you and God can just hang out and you can just be with him. Because that's what it's really about, right? If the Holy Spirit inspired Luke to say these things and he had a point in saying them, does he have a point in wanting to direct your ministry? Does he have a point in wanting to direct, hey, what's the next XYZ thing that we're working on, Natalie? Right? Because God's plan really is to conform and shape you into his image. So what's next? What's the next phase? You don't control that. The Holy Spirit does. Your part in it is releasing and saying, okay, God, what are we doing? There's a lot of times I can look back and say, oh, you know, I haven't sinned today. You know, I haven't committed an act of sin. We've gone over this in Sunday school, right? I haven't committed an act of sin. I haven't been prideful. I haven't been anything else like this. And then God says, have you praised me? I was like, oh. And an atheist would say, what kind of God would make you praise him? Okay, you just don't get it. Just we'll talk later. But, you know, have you stopped and really, no, I've really just been focused in on myself. Right, it's not about acts of sin, is it? It's really about your sin corrupt nature that you always think about yourself. Yeah. When we praise him without obligation, when we're praising the Lord simply because he is awesome, you start to grow. You start to release and let the Holy Spirit mold you and make you into that perfect person that he wants you to be. Each one of us is unique like a snowflake. We have unique personalities. We have unique interests. We have unique giftings. We have unique abilities and talents. When you become a Christian, those don't go away. When you become a Christian, what goes away is this, me, how am I going to benefit? God tweaks you. And you realize who he is and you yield to that, it's okay. We bring Thomas up here and put him on stage and we say, okay, fall backwards. And he's like, I don't know. Maybe he'll do it because of peer pressure. Maybe he'll do it because, well, he's a godly man. He should, okay, X, Y, Z, right? What we want him to do is to totally just, when God does it, you're just like, there's no thinking about it. It's just limping and relaxing. It's like, you've gone on a long journey and you're finally home and you're like, you finally rest. Or you've gone over to and you spent the weekend at a friend's house and it's been really fun, but you get back in your room and you're like, yeah, man, I'm home. And you just like rest. That's what it means to like praise the Lord unadulterated. Take some time to try to do that this week, okay? No rhyme, no reason. You're not getting anything out of God. You just want to spend time with him. Jesus commended the Samaritan for doing that. Is there not... Where are the other nine? Why is only one coming back to praise the Lord? It's key to your salvation. It's key to your sanctification. And we wonder why sometimes we don't feel like Christians. We don't feel near to God. We don't feel like things are clicking religion-wise. A lot of times we're like the other nine lepers. We're going through the motions. We're going to church. We're reading our Bible. But we're not getting it. We're not letting the immensity of the creator of the universe blow us away. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all your examples. We thank you for just how you're able to just pinpoint what's going on in each and every one of our little salients when we try to say, oh, yeah, I love you, God. I'm keeping the letter of the law here, and I'm keeping this, and I'm doing that. I'm going through all these motions, and I want you to bless me, and I don't want my crops to fail, and you know, and I want to be successful at work, and I want all these things, so I'm going to praise you. Lord, help us this week to just let go and just to let you overwhelm us with who you are We don't go off on any weird tangent. We stay within orthodoxy, of course, Father. But that we just stop and let you conform us into your image. I ask and pray that we have that experience this week, that we just see more of you, that we have that time when we're just so overwhelmed that we just break down crying, not because of fear, not because of joy, but just because, like, whoa, you're too much for us. We want to grow in you. We want to be your image bearers. We want to go out into this world, and we want to share the light, love, and salt of Christ. Help us to do that this week by just praising you. For it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.